Emerson Show at 503-733-2970. 10 minutes later, CNN Radio correspondent Brian Blank. It's CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop. Dennis Pitzenbarger, top five. Like it's at 3, Donna Mike at 7, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
One person is dead following a shootout inside the CNN Center in downtown Atlanta. Eyewitnesses say a man and a woman were having an argument in the Omni Hotel, which is right next door. Then he started dragging her by the hair up an escalator. The man then allegedly shot the woman in the face. So Turner Security shows up and shoots the guy. No word yet on which of these are dead. Apparently it's some domestic situation. It had nothing to do with CNN. It's just in the same complex of buildings. Meanwhile, a Shelton woman and man died on a crash at Oregon 38 east of Scottsburg out in the middle of nowhere. Little did the rescue people know that a 7-year-old girl in the back seat survived the whole thing. They got her out of the crash. She's in good condition. A 74-year-old woman is being treated for hypothermia after being trapped for 8 hours in a half-submerged car near Castle Rock. Mary Brennan was blinded by the rising sun early in the morning, missed the curb on Highway 504, and crashed into waist-deep water in a swamp. She was unable to get out. It was spotted after 4 in the afternoon by another driver, and they sent some help. How would you like to own the original Knight Rider car? Kit, the flame-throwing, river-jumping, muscle car of the 80s, Knight Rider, up for sale. It's restored to its debut season glory. This, by the way, is a modified 1982 Pontiac Trans Am. And the price tag is $149,995. It cannot achieve speeds of up to 300 miles an hour, soar 50 feet in the air, or throw smoke bombs. And the red scanner light on the nose glows and does make a humming noise. Most of the buttons don't do anything, though, and the car cannot converse.
Can anybody here simulate the Knight Rider whooshing sound?
No, I don't remember.
Okay, never mind then.
Why would you ask us that?
Because it's just, it's a question.
Can you do it?
I can. It's
do
a...
it.
I'm a retard. Hi, it's a question of cultural literacy. That's the only reason I ask. I was just talking to Fat Boy at KUFO about this. It's so hard to call that guy Fat Boy.
I never know what to call him because I want to say, like, hey.
Mr. Boy? Yes, exactly. The New York Times would refer to him. I'm just going to start calling
him
something.
He's not really fat.
He's a
husky young fellow.
Yeah, he's like stout.
Well, he's a little fat.
He's not fat.
As you hear, a lot of people walking down the street.
We know people who are fatter. That's all I'm saying.
They're not hard to find.
That is true. He doesn't grease up the studio, to the best of my knowledge. The only point I was going to make is from the Court and Fat Boy show on KUFO. We need to come up with another first name for him right now. He's no longer, from this day forward, Fat Boy and the Court and Fat Boy show will no longer be Fat Boy. He will be. Ted? Hank.
Bruno.
Okay.
Eugene.
There you go. Bruno it is. All right. So I was talking to Bruno from the Gordon Fat Boy show the other day, and we were talking about the Knight Rider thing. And I, in turn, was talking about my GPS. I got it's called a TomTom, and it's a global positioning system on a car. It tells you where to get to where you're going. And it comes with a series of stock voices. And so the one that we have it on is some Australian guy named Ken. And so we always just refer to the thing as Ken. But you can pay, I think now you can pay like $14 a year and it'll talk in Eddie Izzard's voice. Eddie Izzard will do it. And I think now you can also pay and John Cleese will be the voice of my GPS. I haven't done either of these things. But the two that they're really like, I don't know why somebody hasn't done this. The two voices that they ought to offer for this in-car GPS, which really is one of the best things I've ever bought. It's not a plug. I'm just saying it's the one of the best devices, especially if you're like me, because I'm just retarded and I can't find my way anywhere. I mean, I'd put that right up there with the TiVo as far as things that I have purchased or things that we have got. I have no idea how I got anywhere without that GPS because it just announces, like, right turn, 300 yards.
And you still use that when you go over to my house and you know where I live.
I've used it to get to places that were less than a mile away. I've been working on this thing at night with Chris Morris from the Bigger Than Jesus House Band, and it's like I went to a coffee shop that literally was like 500 yards away, and I had to use the GPS to get me there because I was when it ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. I mean, it would have been nothing. So, but it just gives you the 15 yards, turn left. And then when you get to the destination, he just sounds so smug and pleased with himself, too. When you pull into the drive, you have reached your destination. And you can tell he's just so fantastically satisfied with himself. But the two voices that they're really missing out on in terms of my GPS are A, Jean-Luc Picard. There really ought to be, I mean, I would pay almost any price to be able to have my GPS. Turn left in 5 yards. Engage. It's just, you know, every time I went to, you know, you will need to commence a U-turn in 300 yards and make it so. I'm getting giddy just thinking about it. That and Knight Rider. I don't know why they haven't come up with, because that guy, what's his name, William Daniels, is still alive. I just saw him in some trailer for a movie the other day. He was the guy from Boy Meets World. They totally ought to be having him voice something. If my car could talk to me in the voice of Kit, and it was telling me how to get to the store, and I wouldn't even need it to call me Rick, it could just call me Michael. Just like on Knight Rider. Michael, in 300 yards, you will reach the plaid pantry. I mean, that'd be the best thing in the history of everything. So, how do the people they ought to get on that, pay whatever that guy wants. Because I'll pay, in turn, whatever you want to have my car talk like that. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, devilish gold digger Heather Mills says she's shocked at the negative way she's being portrayed in the media. During an interview at a Los Angeles-based morning show this morning, the Dancing with the Stars contestant tearfully defended herself against her negative public image.
I could have gone down that path of lowering myself to everyone else's level and proving my innocence and that all I did was fall in love with somebody madly and give up my life for 7 years, you know? And then just to be vilified for
it.
$50 million, yes.
Oh, there's no crying in one-legged dancing. Mm-hmm. Knock it off.
Says the one because she could have lowered herself.
Seriously. She took a crotch down. She could have crotched down to the ice. What could she possibly be crying? Shut your hole. What could she be crying about? Isn't she getting $50 million from Paul McCartney?
Some people are trying to kill her and stuff.
Oh, please. You know, $50 million, people can line up and they can kick me in the nuts for like an hour and a half. You know what I mean? Doesn't matter. You can do for $50 million, I would let someone try to kill me. Doesn't mean $50 million, you can defend yourself from that pretty well. $50 million, you can buy an island and a team of guys just to walk around with you and to kill anybody who approaches you. $50 million makes up for a lot of anguish, I would think. All right. I'm being taunted about my Knight Rider sound. Well, it's the best I could do. It's been a while since I've seen the program. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Tony Blair says the way is open for diplomatic efforts to gain the release of his 15 hostages and that Britain is not looking for a confrontation with Iraq over this crisis.
All the way through, we have had, if you like, two very clear tracks on this. One is to try and settle this by way of peaceful and calm negotiation to get our people back as quickly as possible. The other is to make it clear that if that's not possible, then we have to take an increasingly tougher position.
The Iranian seizure of British sailors is indefensible, according to President Bush in a White House news briefing. He said the U.S. fully supports the British government's efforts to get the sailors back. In the meantime, he expressed renewed concern that Iran wants nuclear capability.
I do share concerns about Iranian intention to have a nuclear weapon. We take seriously the attempts of the Iranians to gain a nuclear weapon.
Do you think he does that just to screw with people now? Do you think he just does it to sort of irritate the rest of us? Just like a little linguistic thumb in the eye?
Well, according to this next sentence, and I'm reading it the way it's written, President Bush says Iran not have nuclear capability.
I'm afraid leaders in Congress seem more interested in fighting political battles in Washington than providing our troops what they need to fight the battles in Iraq. Democrat leaders in Congress are bent on making a political statement. Then they need to send me this unacceptable bill as quickly as possible when they come back.
Iran not have nuclear weapon. Meet John, Big Tree, commune with the Eagle God.
Send him some wampum.
Eat from white man's trough. Let's see. Rick, this email says, just admit it. You use your GPS voice system no matter how far you have to go because you're lonely. Sad but true. Yes, it is true, sir. This is totally great. Your GPS should be... Why didn't anybody do this? Your GPS ought to be able to talk like Tim Riley, most famous speaking computer in history. Go.
What would you like me to say?
No, I'm saying, complete the sentence. The most famous speaking computer in history is?
Is?
This is working up. You're not doing it right.
I'm not doing it right.
Sarah, I don't understand what's being asked of me.
Oh, you're
I
not
don't
gonna,
know.
Sarah's not going to know the answer anyway.
No, see, what he's doing is he's trying to make himself look smart by asking us questions that we don't know the answer to. Just
Tim
so
does
the
know
correct
the
answer.
Tim does know the answer to this. Tim,
I'm not sure that I do.
What is the most famous speaking computer in history?
Oh, it's Hal.
See? Tim knew the answer. Yes. We got this. There ought to be a voice of Hal the computer in your GPS. How great would... Except it would just... The car would just try to kill you every quarter of a mile. It ought to be able to talk like Mother from Alien, too. Oh, that'd be badass. I'm such a nerd, but I would totally pay for that. All right. They ought to get... I could do this all day. They ought to get... What's his name? That Craig Gass guy? To give you a Sam Kinison GPS voice. How badass would that be? Have Sam Kinison telling you where to drive everywhere. I know this makes me look like a lonely shut-in whose only friends are electronic voices coming out of my GPS. But, you know, I am what I am. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, so we have... Well, I guess we don't get...
I'm waiting for something to upload. Let's kill a little time with another story, shall we?
Let's see here.
That's the attitude that makes our news department rise above the others. Let's just kill time with some of these other news stories.
Oh, I do have something here. Okay, this is a breaking news. Reports indicate one person is dead following that shooting inside the CNN Center downtown Atlanta. Witness Ron White says he was on the CNN tour when something outside the tour took place.
On your left, you'll be able to see two dead bodies.
About three, then two. And then we watching the tour guide. He sort of kind of looked a little spooked. But you knew where it was gunshots. So he sort of kind of didn't want us to go out the normal exit. He diverted us toward another exit that they had set up.
Anderson Cooper is found this way.
It was very loud. I mean, you knew what it was. It was real, real loud. I would say maybe, I'm just guessing, maybe 50 feet or more, mm-hmm. You know, but we were inside the last part of the tour. If you knew what that particular area was, it related to the shooting, you kind of gauged the distance that way.
And past the corpses is the CNN commissary where many of our anchors come to eat.
But people weren't panicky at the CNN Center.
No running, no panicking. The tour guy sort of calmed everybody down. You know, you sort of take your lead from him. He was calm, but you knew something had happened, and he just directed toward a different way out. But on the way out, we saw the SWAT team was coming in. They were starting putting the yellow tape up.
There's no crying in network news.
No crying at CNN.
No.
It won't happen. I don't want to read this story.
Okay.
About the Salem woman accused of trying to kill one of her children using baby wipes? No. No.
Well, was she successful?
No, she was not.
Is she going to prison?
Doesn't say. I would imagine she would.
If not, I imagine... If she doesn't go to prison, I imagine that this... I imagine the community will make sure that that works itself out.
It says, she's young, real young. Having two kids is hard, but anytime she's outside, she's with both her kids. So she's a good mother when she's outside.
Sounds like being one of her kids is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine if she doesn't go to...
She's a single mom with two kids at the age of 23. Oh, this is Tom Likas material.
Fantastic.
I never heard her spank her kids. Never heard the kids cry either.
Of course you couldn't hear the kids cry. She was jamming them full of tissues.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like to say this, that if she ends up not going to jail, I'm sure that the community will make sure that everything works out the way it needs to work out.
She's going to the Oregon State Mental Hospital. That's where she's going.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be too bad if she was beaten senseless there. Mm-hmm. It'd be too bad if she was forcibly sterilized, too.
That will not happen.
No, of course not. You know, forcible sterilization, which would cure about 98% of our problems. Colin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi. Well, I've got a toss-up between my two favorite hopeful computer voices I like to have.
You see, Sarah, I'm not the only bitter, crazed loner who needs a fake voice in the car to be friends with. Yes, Colin, how can I...
Well, the first one would be Adam West. I think that would be a pretty...
Oh, like you need to turn left.
Yeah, full-on Adam West, you know, Batman voice,
yeah.
You know.
When I was Batman, uh-huh.
Yeah, and the voice from, you know, War Games.
Oh, to talk like Whopper?
Do you want to turn left now? Something like that. You might want to drive into a brick wall here and then all day, but...
Hello, Professor Falcon. You need to turn. You have missed your turn.
Game over.
I don't know why they haven't figured out that the geeks are just a bottomless well of cash when it comes to things like this.
I mean, if you can have a caller tune for your cell phone, why can't you have a, you know, customized, you know, computer voice. Why not?
That's exactly what I'm saying. See, I'm looking at my email right now.
Start on this. You can make $1 million.
All it is GPS emails right now. Like, the last 15 emails that have come in have all been people talking about this. Like this. There's, for example, this is, Rick, why can't you have a GPS that talks like Marvin the Depressed Robot from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? That was turn left, of course. And this is, turn left. Not that it matters.
I got a great one for you, too. How about Jim Ignatowski? That'd be great.
Jim Ignatowski?
From Taxi.
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to turn left. All right. Thank you. There you go.
Thanks.
Colin. Come on. This is really relatable, and it's not even Thursday. These people probably don't even have GPSs, Sarah. Sarah's just rolling her eyes and just squinching up her mouth, and that 3 o'clock will be here soon enough.
Stop.
I'm just saying. I guess I can't get Marvin out of my head. And coming up, you need to execute a U-turn. And I've got this terrible pain in all of my diodes on my left side. Oh, God, I'm so depressed.
Who's the actor that plays V?
Oh, Hugo Weaving?
Oh, I love his voice more than any other man's. Like, that's who I would pick.
Yeah, that would be good. Would it be him or as Mr. Anderson? You have missed your turn. He could do it as Agent Smith, or he could
do it as
V.
No, I kind of like it with the muffles, with the mask.
That's, I don't even know what he would say.
You do it good.
But I don't even know what he would say.
Make a left, funny man.
That's the other guy, though. That's Stephen Fry. What did he, if you missed your turn, he would, what would V, this is the longest way to get to a bad punchline.
Yeah, I don't know, but I love his voice.
He does this. I don't even know what the V from Vendetta guy would say in terms of direction. I have nothing. I failed you. I have failed you. Oh, here's
okay,
another
I'm
one.
Just saying.
GPS voices. Your GPS needs to speak like Ed 209 from RoboCop. Badass. Thank you. That is complete. You have 10 seconds to comply. And then it just fires a machine gun volley right at you. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
The home of Duran Duran, bass player John Taylor was burglarized last night. TMZ reports that Taylor's house was ransacked, several items taken, including his personal safe. The burglary was discovered by Taylor's housekeeping staff. He and his family are currently in England. Meanwhile, Jennifer Lopez reportedly spent most of yesterday on jury duty. She couldn't get out of it. She doesn't know the right people. According to TMZ, the singer fought off boredom during the six-hour stint by text messaging her friends. Some witnesses tell the website that J-Lo was overall friendly and even talked to other potential jurors. She did have her own personally assigned deputy. She was able to go home after word came down yesterday afternoon that the case was resolved.
Remember when we used to have to listen to her and read news about her? I'm so glad that that's stopped.
Yeah.
I'm so glad the caring about her phase of her career is over.
All it took was the matchup with Ben Affleck.
It's true. And, that was
Box
like
a... Office poison.
That was a two for the price of one snuffing right there. Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi, Rick.
Hey.
How you doing today?
What's up?
Not much. I just wanted to put my 2 cents on what my GPS voice would be.
You see, Sarah laughed at this. When I started talking about this, Sarah was rolling her eyes. Go ahead.
Well, I had to put in... It has to be Thuzla Doom. James Earl Jones from Conan the Barbarian.
I'm not much of a Conan the Barbarian fan, so...
Oh, well, James Earl Jones' voice is just wonderful. Hey, I had another question. Where's Barracuda at?
It is at 9 Northwest 3rd. It is right downtown, right off Burnside.
Burnside, okay.
9 Northwest 3rd. And we got an announcement about that listener party we're going to be making later on in the show today.
Nice. Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. This is Rick. This is from Melody. She says, would you please play this? This is what I hear every time I have mail. Tell Sarah it's not just boys.
There's a message for you.
See, that's Hal from 2001. Fantastic. You haven't seen 2001, A Space Odyssey.
So no.
Hal is the ship's onboard computer that goes crazy and begins killing all the crew members.
And you're misconstruing me. You know I'm a big nerd, too. I'm not making fun of you.
Is it day two of Sarah's grumpy... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I should have realized yesterday. Okay.
Oh, don't go there.
Deny it. Deny it.
I'm denying it. It's really not what you think.
Uh-huh. It's not,
It's not nature's special time.
I was trying to think of a funny, like a Bravo Sierra kind of acronym. It's not, Pachyderm Madre Sierra. love. The language of love. It's not. It's we're not.
No.
You're not about to. It's not. You're not okay. Entering the doorway of the blood.
I
hut.
Already answered your question. No.
Really?
Really.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. I was just asking. I was going to tread lightly. Now I know I can just continue to be crass and offensive. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
A woman is getting national attention for pitching in to help those less fortunate. For today's Oprah Winfrey Show, focusing on the power of one, audience members were asked to do their part in providing charity items. Allegreg Grower took part in the show's taping and says Oprah's producer called her to help collect pajamas.
I thought it sounded fun and see, you know, what we can do. And the response was unbelievable from our neighborhood and our parish. But then, of course, at the Hancock School District, the teachers there and, you know, staff, they were all wonderful. We just got an unbelievable amount of pajamas.
Grower?
I barely knew her.
Meanwhile, Miss USA 2000 several Rachel Smiths. Paying a visit to Oprah Winfrey. She interned at the program last year. During the televised return, Smith shared what her answer was when she was asked recently if she wanted to be the next Oprah Winfrey.
The most badly written sentence.
So, Rachel, you've worked with some powerful people. You've worked with Ms. Winfrey, and do you want to be the next Oprah Winfrey? And I said, no. You know, she's doing great with what she's doing, and I want to make my own footsteps.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Rick, look, this is gold. Look at this email. People can't get enough of this GPS talk. Rick, the big I had to just be a consultant. Screw this. I had to just go be a consultant for talk radio right now. The big money is in talking about global positioning systems. Please get all your hosts on it. Rick, Kiff from Futurama would be a pretty great GPS voice. Totally. Because and he could just at all put up on because Kiff does that, you need to turn left. And it's that thing that he does all the... Zap Brannigan! Oh, my God! There totally needs to be a Zap Brannigan from Futurama GPS for it. Kiff, fetch my shorts. You know, and he just... Kiff, it's time for a full body waxing. And the enemy will fall like a house of cards. Checkmate. This is going to be one very sexy struggle for the future of all humanity, Kiff. Also, much like Film Fever Radio does movie commentaries, I see a line extension, good marketing term, in the Rick Emerson Show brand. Tim Riley is GPS voice. The best thing about it is all the street names will be mispronounced, numbers will be mixed around, and immediately after giving you directions, the computer Tim would crumble the information up and throw it away, never to be seen or heard from again, as he suddenly headed out the door towards the Max line. Fantastic. Computer, do you have that information? No, I've thrown it away. Goodbye. And then it would just be gone. That's the funniest email of the day. Right there. Funniest email of the day so far. All right, here's... what are these people... Really? Are they all calling about this? Scotty, that's just disturbing. Scotty says, why all men voices? A woman's voice would be good on the GPS. I'm not...
This would be a good format for one of those new hidden radio stations.
When we're not busy listening to Tom Likas' stool.
Yeah.
We're not going to have the I Dream of Genie voice call you master, Scotty.
Yeah, okay.
That's just weird, all right? Sid, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hey.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I thought for Sarah's message for that would be something. Let me see if I can be muffled here. Sarah, sweetheart, we need to turn left here and go home and drain our sinuses.
What? I don't get it.
Didn't she want the guy from V?
Is that who your words is now?
Well, hey, I'm no Rich Little, but...
No! Okay, no, that's funny.
Or how about, Sarah, you're radiant when you drink, but perchance you shouldn't be driving?
See, you're you've got to muffle it like this.
Okay. Perchance, Sarah, you are radiant when you drink, but you shouldn't be driving.
All right, I'll just give you a little, All right. Thank you, Sid. Genius. I don't even know what that was at the end, but it was fantastic.
I think he was disconnecting himself.
Maybe. It sounded like some sort of like I was being attacked by a squid. Rich Little ought to be doing this. I seriously cannot believe that somebody isn't doing this right now. This is money in the bank. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Okay, here's Tim Riley.
A woman is suing her dancing partner, claiming he dropped her on her noggin after flipping her into the air at an office party and miscatching her. 22-year-old Lacey Hindman is the victim of negligent dancing, says her lawyer, David Baum. In the suit, Hindman claims that during a party at a Chicago bar, David Perrine grabbed her by the forearms, tossed her in the air, and she crashed down to the wooden floor. I was in the air over him. Then I fell hard enough you could hear the impact of me hitting the floor over the sound of the jukebox. This was filed in county court in Chicago. She suffered a fractured skull and brain injuries. She's seeking damages for medical bills and lost wages. She worked for Prang's wife, Katie, at Shop Girl, a woman's boutique. There is no immediate comment from her lawyers.
Well, we've got this. Rick, you've missed the most obvious voice for your GPS unit. Optimus Prime beats out a cheesy 80s Trans Am any day. Oh, yeah, totally like a transform. And Peter Cullen is still alive. Transform and roll out. I can't do the sound, but Aaron can do that pretty well. Aaron, direct to no one's surprise and to his wife's undying shame, undoubtedly, has clearly spent many dozens of hours learning how to make the Autobot transform sound with his voice. Speaking of which, here's the other thing about this is, well, never mind. We'll talk about that. I'm not even going to get to go to a Grindhouse tonight, which pisses me off, though. And you're not going to get to go either. I offered my ticket to you, Sarah, and you can't go.
Well, you had initially told me that you would take me in the first place.
I never told you that.
Yes, you did.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a lie. Why did I say that?
I don't know.
I guess I thought that Aaron and Scott were both out of town. I figured there would be two Film Fever tickets. But it turns out that only Aaron is, only Scott is gone. Aaron is here, so there's one ticket. I can't go, and I offered to do, but you got to work.
What's the Grindhouse? Some sort of dirty dancing?
No. Welcome to...
Show him the Grindhouse, Rick.
The Grindhouse sounds like some sort of a boxing move. Grindhouse is a... it's hard to explain. You don't want to see it. There's a lot of killing and maiming. You don't want to see it.
Maybe Kim should go.
I don't think it's. I don't think this movie is. Did you watch The Iron Giant yet?
I started it, but I haven't completed it yet.
Oh, come on! Fine. Really?
Yes.
It didn't even hold your interest enough to finish it in one sitting?
Well, I had several other things going on. I was doing bookkeeping and accounting.
All right.
It's another,
well, I had it on exciting, the screen. Another exciting night at the Riley household. I'm here adding up numbers in a ledger. Then later I'm going to brew some Earl Grey tea. Pay out socks.
Not that late at night.
Rick, how about Bender from Futurama? Let's see. This is, there'll be totally like a turn right and then bite my shiny metal ass meat bag kind of a thing. Also, Rick, on your TomTom, because there's a whole series of voices you can choose from. Again, we use Ken. He's an Australian guy. There's some woman who speaks in like, bah, 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 or whatever that Mandarin Chinese thing is. Listen, this is creepy, though. Rick, also, on your TomTom, try the Jane voice. She's great to listen to on a long, lonely trip, he says. I'm surprised they don't have like a Jenna Jameson thing or something like that. I'm surprised there aren't Jenna Jameson ringtones. Let's see, it's 503-733-2970. We should take a break, and then we'll come back. And this guy, I would seriously pay $10 right now for a Tim Riley suite of Windows system sounds.
How much?
$10. Oh.
I thought I heard a couple more zeros after.
I'll get right to it. That's fantastic.
That's typical, though.
I think someone's miswritten this figure. Second break, come back. More phone calls, emails. Tim Riley returns around the corner. Later on, we've got Jim Roof. Don't go anywhere. Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Rick, it sounds like you were doing a Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, not so much the Night Industries 2000. I know, I'm sorry. Sorry that I can't do the Trans Am more impressively. Off my back. Let's see. Well, I'll get somebody later. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the end in Sacramento is off the hook. The DA's office says criminal intent would have been the criterion for filing charges against 107.9 The End, an intercom station, for its handling of the January 12th water drinking contest.
Jennifer Strange drank about 2 gallons of water before dropping out of the competition. She later died. Sacramento attorney Harlan Antler said it's tragic, but the DA's decision is the right
one.
Here
in California, there's no statute that makes it illegal to drink water to excess or to hold a contest for that.
So they're off the hook.
What is his name?
Harlan Antler.
I barely knew her.
So this is, but everybody stays fired, right? This is like they've got, because they blew out like that whole, I don't even know how they found, what was it, 12 people? How do they even find 12 people to fire? Because they fired, there was the two morning hosts, a news person, a producer, and the promotions director. That's still only five. So I can't even, they must have just fired like random people who are walking through the, hi, you're fired. And just some, you know, the guy was.
This is really the end.
Some guy was filling the water cooler that day or whatever. Rick, I demand to have the voice of Boom Hour from King of the Hill on my GPS. Or quite possibly Don LaFontaine. Oh my God. Can you imagine how great it would be to have Don LaFontaine, the inner world, world where you need to turn left. That's, okay. This, I had to just quit this job right now and go do that. I had to quit this job and go put together GPS custom voices, because that's obviously where the money is. Just this casual surveying of the audience right here indicates that there's money to be made there. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Canadian Corner, Dateline Toronto. A school principal up there expected to keep her job after she allegedly threw feces at a 12-year-old boy. Assault charges against Maria Pantalone have been dropped.
Pantalone? Really?
Pantalone, yeah. The judge in her case ruled she had suffered enough in the case involving a boy who wasn't one of her students. The circumstances of the incident last July cannot be revealed due to the age of the child. Well, that's no fun. According to reports, Pantalone had testified about the incident, saying, quote, I couldn't take it anymore. It was total frustration, unquote. She was suspended from her position as principal after throwing feces at the boy and hitting him on the shoulder.
Doesn't pantalone mean pants?
That's correct, yes. In Spanish.
Okay.
So we don't know if it's her feces, or if she borrowed it from someone, or if it's the boy's.
Pardon me, does anyone have any feces I can borrow? I seem to have left mine at home. I'm looking it up right now. She was granted a discharge, apparently, according to the court. Let's see. Principal 3 pleads guilty to throwing feces on boy. I'm trying to find out more about this story. I love the internet. Let's see here. Oh, wait, what do you have to... Why would I possibly register for this? I don't think so. Let's see.
They don't make it easy.
It is amazing what you find on the net if you go to Google News and you put in feces Toronto. Let's see here. Let me try another one. This is the Toronto Star. Looking at the Toronto Star, trying to find the details of the... A suspended Toronto elementary school principal has pleaded guilty to throwing feces, parenthetically, excrement, on a child. Maria Pantalone, 49, was charged with 2 counts of assault, one against that child, one against another, but only admitted to one of the charges. She says, I couldn't take it anymore. She testified in describing the provocative circumstances. I want to know if this happened in the classroom or if this happened... I'm trying to, as we continue today, I'll be looking at more of this. Because, did she leave the class and, go into the bathroom and then come back later on? Did she keep the feces in a jar just in case that she would need it at some point?
So they don't know if it's human or animal?
It doesn't. That's a good question, Sarah Dillon. I don't really know.
That is a good question.
I don't know the answer.
Maybe she just emptied her cat's litter box and had some spare feces in her purse.
Good God almighty. All right. Is this really...
Is she emailing you?
No. Somebody has sent me...
Feces.
No. Well, not yet. The day's not over. Somebody has sent me the most horrifying... I don't know if it's horrifying. Somebody has just sent me the story. This is from our good friend Todd the Corpse. He says, holy crap. I don't know if this qualifies as a cannibal watch, but here's something truly terrifying, horrifying, and disgusting. Okay, so we'll read this here in just a few. And I just previewed this story. Sarah, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. I have, and I know that this is a phrase that people use a lot and it never is true. They always say this, and then the payoff is always insufficient. I have here in front of me, and I'm looking here, and I'm looking at the source. This story is real. This isn't a tabloid story. I have here a story that will blow your mind. I know that sounds like a setup I can't possibly pay off.
Isn't that right, Donkey? Different categories?
Different categories.
Okay.
All right.
I hate to do this, but Tim, yeah. I'm going to print this. Why don't you just read his story? I'm going to duck back to the printer real quickly and grab this.
All right, so I'll do that.
I'm printing this right now. Go ahead. I'll be back in like 10 seconds.
Read the story, any story.
Well, today, a closed hearing is scheduled in the paternity case of Anna Nicole Smith's daughter, Daniel Lynn, while her last partner, Howard K. Stern, is listed on the baby's birth certificate, it's highly unlikely he's the girl's biological father. Her full name is Daniel Lynn Hope Marshall Stern. Instead, one of Anna Nicole's many lovers, photographer Larry Burkett, is certain he's the child's father. Most people think he's probably right, and we'll find out soon, maybe even today. A child's DNA was tested March 21st, but the results have not yet been revealed. It's taking a long time, isn't it?
He is. I think he went to the bathroom.
Oh. Okay, story over.
Are we done?
Yes, we are.
Okay, this
are you giving it to Tim?
What?
Are you going to give the horrible story to Tim? Or the
yes.
Mind-blowing story?
All right. So, Tim, I'm going to put this story face down.
Face down.
Right there.
All right.
Sarah, are we prepared with the Cannibal Watch theme?
Oh, boy.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if this truly counts as a Cannibal Watch, but by God, we're going to make it count as a Cannibal Watch. Here is your impromptu Cannibal Watch for Tuesday. Okay, Tim Riley has not pre-read this story. Okay, Tim.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I just punched at that same picture.
Really?
He has a face that looks like ground beef.
Sarah, no.
Okay,
no.
I'm not looking.
Look
okay.
away. I want to get somebody's unfiltered, just honest reaction to this story. Okay, Tim, go ahead and read this. This is a real story from the Associated Press.
Dateline London. Keith Richards has acknowledged consuming a raft of illegal substances in his time, but this may top them all. In his comments published today, the 63-year-old Rolling Stones guitarist said he snorted his father's ashes mixed with cocaine. The strangest thing I ever tried to snort? My father. I snorted my father. He's quoted as saying this to a British music magazine, NME. He was cremated, and I couldn't resist grinding him up with a little bit of blow. My dad wouldn't have cared, he said. It went down pretty well, and I'm still alive.
A father's love.
His dad, Bert, died in 2002 at 84. Richards, one of rock's legendary wild men, told the magazine that his survival was the result of luck and advised young musicians against trying to emulate him. I did it because that was the way I did it. Now people think it's a way of life. I have no pretensions or immorality. I am the same as everyone, just kind of lucky. I was number one on the Who's Likely to Die list for 10 years. I mean, I was really disappointed when I fell off the list.
So there you go. So the key to the story is the first third, where he admits to snorting his father's ashes with cocaine.
Which no effect, huh?
I don't really know if that technically counts as a Cannibal Watch. But, I mean, really, just when you think you'd like heard it all from that guy and from the world, I mean, I thought we'd sort of hit the rock bottom a couple years ago with that Motley Crue book, mm-hmm. where it was like, was it Ozzy that snorted a line of ants, and then somebody else that was snorting his whiz? It was something like that. It was either Nikki Sixx was snorting one, and Ozzy was snorting the other. Somebody was snorting whiz, and somebody was snorting ants. And I didn't really think we could fall any lower than that. But really, I mean, if you were going to pick a rock star, if you really were going to have all the rock stars in the pantheon, if you were going to pick somebody to snort the somebody's ashes ground up with cocaine, it really would be Keith Richards. So there you go. Fantastic. Thank you, Todd, for finding that. Keith Richards. Ladies and gentlemen, there's your impromptu Cannibal Watch for Tuesday. Even occur to you? I mean, leaving aside the issue of whether it's weird or wrong or strange or just completely messed up, I mean, what you would have to be pretty high already in the evening. Like, what at what point in the night does that even occur to you that you, like, you run out of
other... He didn't say he was trying to do it as respect or anything.
It was like he just run out of everything else in the house, apparently. I don't know.
It was a celebration of his life.
Maybe. Maybe that's how Dad would have wanted it or something. I just don't know exactly what else you tried to... Like, what other substances have you run through that night that you've been snorted up into your head? How many other things, like cornstarch, how many other things in the house have you snorted before you finally get down to the ashes of a dead relative that are sitting up in a Tupperware container somewhere? All right, there you go. Alex, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello?
Why, hello there.
Hey, yeah. You know, it's funny. I was thinking that Keith Richards would be a good voice, but I don't think I can compete. I can't even compete with the dad snorting.
No, there's really nothing. There's nothing to compete with that, sir.
Yeah, but I was actually going to comment again on the GPS voices, and I have sort of a tie. It's either Christopher Walken or Yosemite Sam.
Christopher Walken would be good. In fact, I'm surprised that somebody hasn't come up with that already because he is such a cult figure.
Yeah, but Yosemite Sam would be better because, like, if you made a wrong turn, he'd be like, oh, wrong turn.
I think we're thinking of two different people. I don't think that's Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, it is.
No, Yosemite Sam is the guy who says things like wreck-a-frets.
Yeah, he does. And he would say it when you made a wrong turn, too.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
Bye.
All right, there you go.
Yeah, he does.
Sorry, I don't mean to front on the Yosemite Sam knowledge. Sorry. Let's see. Our good friend, Brad. Hello, sir.
Hey there. Yeah, you know, thank God Keith Richards is still alive, frankly, because... I use him every time I think I should not drink as much bourbon or whatever, and it's just genetic. I just go, if he's still alive, I can do whatever I want to do.
And he really is a benchmark, you know what I mean? Like, no matter how effed up you may be, no matter what kind of an evening you've had, no matter what ill-advised activities you took part in over the course of a night, you didn't snort your dead father's ashes and you weren't drinking someone else's whiz, so...
Yeah, you know, when your wife tells you the next morning what you did, you go, it could be worse. I could be Keith Richards.
No, it's true. It's exactly true. Yeah.
Now, my GPS idea was to have George Bush, and what he would continually do is send you into a bad neighborhood down an alley for which there's no escape.
Yeah, he would have no, and his exit plan for getting out of the bad neighborhood would be to leave it via an even worse neighborhood.
Exactly.
That would be his exit plan. Fantastic. Excellent. Thank you, sir. There you go. That's Brad, the car guy. Here's Tim Riley.
All right, we have the 700-plus-pound woman trapped in her New Jersey home. Rescue crews freed this morbidly obese lady from her Mercer County home after an all-night effort to transport her to a hospital. Authorities were called to the 100 block of Huff Avenue in Trenton after the woman, believed to weigh over 700 pounds, between 700 and 800 cubic feet.
Once you get to that point, really, you can just, it's all... You know, it's horseshoe.
She fell in the upstairs bathroom. Dozens of area firefighters. Dozens.
How did she get to the upstairs bathroom, do you suppose?
I suppose someone could be rolled upstairs with a little help.
The Oompa Loompas are taking her up to the juicing room.
They attempted to move her, but were unsuccessful after several hours.
So, how many hours would you put in before you just, like, screw it?
Well, they removed a second-story window and dismantled the bathroom before removing the woman using a large rescue bucket.
Anytime you are being taken out of any place in a bucket, that's not good.
In a rescue bucket?
Seriously, well, we had to take her out of there in a bucket. That never comes with anything good. There is no possible context in which being removed from somewhere in a bucket is good.
And she was put in a specially equipped ambulance.
How sad that in America we have to have ambulances just for people. And when they say that she weighs 700 plus, you know what that means? That means that they had a scale that only went up to 700 pounds, and she maxed it out. So she's at least 700 pounds.
Well, apparently, this specially equipped ambulance is the only one in all of New Jersey that can move a patient of that size.
Well, for now. They'll have a fleet of those within a decade. Bill, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, a really good GPS voice or group of voices would be the cast from Star Trek.
I was just telling Sarah during the break.
You know, you could have Captain Kirk, you know, telling Sulu to engage and Spock could come on when you make a wrong turn. It'd be hard to get Scotty, though, because he's, you know, passed.
Because he's dead. But, I mean, you could do you could even do, like, a Star Trek The Next Generation thing, which is where, like, where Data would sort of... He would sort of coldly scold you, like, if you had plotted the correct trajectory, you would have reached your destination, you know, fortuitous, you know, and he would totally be all logical about it. I would pay any amount of money to have Captain Kirk tell me where to go when I was driving.
Could you imagine the line at the next Star Trek convention?
No.
I
don't know why. I can't possibly be this bright that I've just come up with this. I mean, somebody has to have tried to do this. Somebody has to have put it together. I can't possibly be this intelligent to have come up with something like this.
Well, especially the original Star Trek cast, you know they're all going to do it. Even, you know, Shatner will do it. He's crazy enough to do anything.
Oh, he'll do anything. You sign a big enough check, he will do anything you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's no... Scotty is pointing at the TomTom.com has some, which is a funny phrase, has some voices. But the voices that... Look, I love my GPS, but the voices that comes programmed are all ass. They're terrible. So this is a genius idea whose time has come.
Yes.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Bill.
You bet.
And that's Bill. Now, the TomTom voices are all terrible. They're all... Except for Eddie Izzard, which is sort of a third-party product. The ones that come with the device are all awful. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, back to politics again. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, a Mormon, provided a jolt to the Republican presidential contest, reporting a haul of $21 million in the first 3 months of the year. Senator John McCain of Arizona posted a lackluster third-place finish, even though his campaign manager is calling him a disappointment. The campaign's release for their first fundraising figures on what appears to be the most expensive presidential candidate in history shows McCain's $12.5 million total also put him behind Rudy Giuliani, who took in $15 million. But they can't beat Hillary Clinton. She raised $26 million. And Barack Obama so far has declined to release figures of his campaign.
Did you see that statue that was like in Chicago? There's a statue of Barack Obama as Jesus.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Is that real?
It is.
Well, just in time for Easter.
Yes. Rick, there's a GPS. Let's see, the GPS should be voiced by either Vader or Optimus Prime. By the way, did you see that the new movie Megatron is voiced by Hugo Weaving? Hugo Weaving, man. That guy is never going to have to work again, ever. He doesn't ever have to take another job because he was, what's his name, Elrond or Elrond or El whatever in Lord of the Rings, and he was Agent Smith in The Matrix, and he was V in V for Vendetta, and now he's the voice of Megatron in the new Transformers movie. That guy can spend the rest of his life just showing up at sci-fi conventions and just charging people like $100 just to stand next to him for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm so glad that I didn't realize it was him when I saw that movie. It would have been distracting if you know who's behind the mask, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm glad that I didn't find out until after.
Yeah, he's that guy, man. He's it's like four huge geek franchises in a row that he's part of, so...
Who are you?
Who is but the form following the function of what? And what I am is a man in a mask.
Oh, I can see that.
Of course you can. I'm not questioning your powers of observation. I'm merely remarking upon the paradox of asking a masked man who he is.
See, how great would it be to have that as your GPS?
Oh. I want one.
I'd pay for it right now.
I want one, too, if it's him.
All right. Ben, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
You want a female voice for your GPS? Go with 7 of 9.
That's Jerry. Well, then somebody had suggested a Marina Sirtis to his Counselor Troy. So she could sort of
Counselor Deanna Troy.
Counselor Deanna Troy.
Yeah, 7 of 9 be like, well, you will comply.
Or who was that? Wasn't there that hot? What's it? The Borg Queen.
The Borg Queen from First Contact.
From First Contact, the Borg Queen was kind of hot in a weird sort of Nazi way.
Was.
Yeah.
For
so
for a musical voice, you could go with Weird Al.
Weird Al, there ought to be a Weird Al, or there ought to be just like, there ought to be like a generic, this is one where I would, see the problem with the TomTom voices, and again, don't get me wrong, the TomTom GPS is one of the best things I've ever bought, it's fantastic, out of the box, it was gold, but the problem with the voices that come built in is that the novelty voices are all dumb, they're all like generic, it's like New York City cab driver, and it's all terrible, but I would accept like a generic heavy metal voice. So it was sort of like a 10 laps in 3 miles, wow! You know, and just sort of like, it would all just wail like...
Kiss theme?
What's that?
Your Kiss theme.
Totally, we did like a poor man's Bruce Dickinson, like a poor man's...
Simmons or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like a B-list Iron Maiden, where he just sort of wails the instructions at you, and then, you know, and then it just ends with a guitar riff. I would totally pay for that. All right,
yeah, excellent. That'd be good. All right.
Thank you.
Got nothing else for you. Good show, man. Keep it up.
Thank you. There you go, that's Ben. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Hi, Scotty. How can I help you today?
Just some information on that. On the voices.
Oh, hey, look at that. To cash in. Scotty, look at that. I think Scotty's trying to make up for being an ass earlier. He's trying to contribute to the program now.
Oh, he's not an ass.
He's
yes, he is.
Okay, I'll take mixed messages.
Yeah.
That's a little dysfunctional, what you just did there. Mommy,
I'm sorry, I was standing up for him, but really, and then I
Mommy loves you, even though you're a mistake. The hell is that?
I was trying to be nice, and then it just wasn't working for
okay.
me.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll read this next hour. I've got a... I've got a thing about GPS celebrity voices. Thank you, Scotty. It's 503-733-2970. Let's do like two more and then we'll break here.
Well, a Virginia man has beat out 15 other challengers, make that 1,500, to become the new Maytag man. Yes, it's lonely being the Maytag repairman, but this Virginia man will give it a try. Clay Jackson has been selected to be the new Maytag repairman. It'll help revitalize the Maytag brand and its heritage. We're keeping one foot in the past while putting another into the future.
Last Maytag repairman was?
Tom Bosley?
No, Tom Bosley wasn't a Maytag repairman.
Yes, he was, wasn't he?
Tom Bosley.
Oh, was it Gordon Jump?
Gordon Jump is who it was. Well spotted.
And then
yes.
There was another guy before him. The guy with the big nose.
There was I don't know who it was. All I remember, who was that? It doesn't really matter. Don't call about it. But it was Gordon Jump, who I think is dead now.
Oh, there have only been three Maytag repairmen.
Why does it, never mind. I don't really care that much about the Maytag
repairmen. And the current one is Hardy Rawls.
Hardy Rawls?
Apparently his contract's not being renewed. He's not doing it very well.
Hardy Rawls, is that H-A-R-D-Y?
Yes, H-A-R-D-Y.
H-A-R-D-Y-R-A-W-L-S. Hardy Rawls just sounds like some sort of country guy who would just beat your ass if you tried to fire him. Mm-hmm. Hardy Rawls sings...
No, we'll find out.
...sings Highway Favorites. All right, we should actually break here. We got Brian Blank coming up. More of your phone calls. Later on, Scotty J will be joining us on the program as we inject his saline crap into his head, and we're going to see what happens then.
He offered... Why do you keep expressing
all this
concern? It's kind of
telling... We had, like, just for some random reason today, we had the intercom story when they killed somebody with the water.
Well, he doesn't have to drive that far afterwards. And nobody's called to tell us that he could die. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
Give me to this point.